Jairata Madhava Kunjabi Hare Jairata Madhava Kunjabi Hare Jana Balava Girivaratare Gopi Jana Balava Girivaratare
Thank you. चतुराय ग्रेस ऐसी भक्त वृद्ध स्थान शिव प्रभु भाग की
इसकान
स्वामृताय शिव प्रभु भाग की श्री श्री नित्याय गौड़ हरे की श्री श्री नित्याय सच्ची सुच की संकीर्तन यज्ञ की श्री राधाष्टमी महोत्सव की दिव्यास्ताय श्रीमती राधा रानी की गौ प्रणंद All glories to the Son of the Virgins. All glories to the Son of the Virgins. All glories to the Son of the Virgins. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
It's very nice to be here with you all tonight, particularly with such an auspicious occasion coming up, very, very wonderful occasion of the appearance of Srimati Radharani. So we'll all be here tomorrow night and we'll have a special festival for Radharani. Of course, it'd be nice if we had Radha and Krishna deities here, but Lord Chaitanya, he is the combined form of Radha and Krishna, so really there's no difference. And it's important that we try to enter a little bit into the mood of approaching these great personalities on their appearance days. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Madhavachiti Bhakati Janani, that the Madhavatitis, the auspicious occasions in the calendar of the appearance days and disappearance days and so on, the Lord and the great devotees, Bhakti Janani, these are the mothers of our devotional moods. Krishna consciousness is all about devotion, devotional service. It is not all about working hard. It is not all about becoming big managers and organizing everything. That's all there. We have to do our best to serve the Lord with all of our energy and try to organize everything nicely so it all works. But actually what it's really all about is devotion. It's all about developing an attachment to Krishna. A real attraction to Krishna, the person, not just as some distant authority figure, but Krishna, the most wonderful and lovable Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Krishna consciousness. This is the essence of Krishna consciousness. And everything else is there just to serve that. So, Madhavatiti, Bhakti Janani, these special occasions, particularly like tomorrow, is the appearance day of Srimati Radharani. She is the mother of devotion. Bhakti Devi is her expansion. So, especially on a day like tomorrow, very important day to try to focus our minds and focus our hearts and our souls and everything and really try to come closer to Srimati Radharani, really try to come closer to Krishna in real terms by actually deepening our devotion, deepening our attachment and attraction for them, our appreciation for them. Yes, so this is very important and very nice. These festivals are very beautiful. So if you can even come for the morning program also. We'll be talking about Radharani in the morning. I assume there'll be a new outfit, is it? Yes, for Radharani in the morning, for the deities. And if you're really, you know, of a certain type of disposition, you could bunk work or school. Don't tell your mothers. You know, just tell I know in Durban a lot of them are going to do that tomorrow, and they've already done it. I saw some of them today. And really try and get into it. Really try to do something. Special offering from the heart. Special service from the heart. The pleasure of Srimati Radharani. She is the mother of devotion, the queen of Vrindavan, Vrindavaneshwari. She is the queen of Vrindavan and the queen of our hearts, actually. Although we may not have realized it so much, but this is really the case. So, Mother Diti and Bhakti Jani, days like tomorrow, they're special days for developing a little realization, going a little more deeply into this, and experiencing this, and trying to express this a little bit more in our lives. So, basically I would say, really try your best to take advantage of the opportunity tomorrow. Srimati Radharani will be offering herself and making herself so much more available, so much more accessible. So, I thought that tonight, just as something special, something that we don't normally do, because it's very special, it's very unique really, very deep, very profound, not something to be taken lightly. So I thought that tonight we could read some special prayers, in this case written by Srila Rupa Goswami. Special prayers to Radharani, actually special prayers to both Radha and Krishna. They're always together, and it's not really right to isolate either one from the other in any sense, in pictures or in what we say or we do. Srila Prabhupada would ask sometimes, who is God? And the devotees, of course, would say, Krishna is God. Prabhupada was saying, no! No? What happens? Someone else took over. No? Srila Prabhupada would say, Radha Krishna is God. Radha Krishna. Because Radharani is Krishna's pleasure potency. She is the most essential part of Krishna's being. The internal potency means Krishna's internal potency. We have our own potency within us by which we can do this and do that. We have some energy and so on. This is a potency. Our potency is within us. So Krishna, he has his potency within him also, of course. That is his internal potency. And the three parts of that Sat, Chit, Ananda, eternity, consciousness, and bliss. But of the three of them, which is the most important? That is the Ananda potency, the blissful potency, the pleasure potency of Krishna. That is the governing part of the internal, Krishna's internal spiritual energy, which is dominating all the other parts. Yes. So, Krishna, what would Krishna be without Radharani? So, Krishna is only complete when Radharani is there, because she is his entire capacity to enjoy. And that is what Krishna is all about. Krishna is all about enjoying. Yes, this is Krishna. So, Shivarupa Goswami has written many beautiful prayers, and the other great Goswamis and Acharyas written many beautiful, beautiful prayers glorifying Radha and Krishna and their pastimes, their beauty, and their mercy, and everything about them. So here we're going to read one poem, just the translations, in fact, by Srila Rupa Goswami. It's called Karupanya Panjika Stotra. Basically means, like the poor man is calling out like that. Very poor person. Very poor. And so very meager resources of any type. But he's calling out. He's praying. And so it's a very beautiful prayer. We'll read most of it. And just so you know what's going on, he begins, first of all, basically, by glorifying Radha and Krishna. How wonderful they are, and beautiful they are. How special and attractive they are. Then after glorifying them like that for several verses, a number of verses, then he starts to appeal to them in very, very humble words. Very humbly. Like the title suggests, the poor man. But he's not poor in rands and cents, not in that sense. At least he's feeling himself to be very poor as a devotee. That he's very poor in devotion. He doesn't have any, really. So he's, after the glorification of Radha and Krishna, then he's begging and appealing, please give me your mercy, even though I don't deserve it. Please give me your mercy. And ultimately, what is that mercy that he's looking for? That mercy, of course, that is operating on many levels. But ultimately, that mercy means he wants to serve them personally, face to face, in Vrindavan. He wants a very intimate, personal service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. These are very elevated verses. Listen carefully, because they're very nice. So, Srila Rupa Goswami prays. A very poor man living in Vrindavan forest presents the following appeal at the lotus feet of Vrindavan's king and queen. O king, whose luster eclipses the splendor of newly blossomed blue lotus flowers. O queen, whose fair complexion devours the intense pride of yellow garochana. O king, whose splendid garments mock the beauty of golden kadamba flowers. O queen, whose splendid garments eclipse the glory of red timshuka flowers. O King, who is the sapphire crown of all youths. O Queen, who is the jasmine flower crown in the decorated braids of all the girls in Vraja. O King, whose transcendental form is the most handsome of all forms of the personality of Godhead. O Queen, whose beauty fills with wonder the girls of Vraja, who are more beautiful than the goddess of fortune. O King, whose fragrance captivates Srimati Radharani. O Queen, whose fragrance maddens Lord Madhava. O King, whose flute stuns Srimati Radharani. O Queen, whose veena charms infallible Krishna. O King, whose restless sidelong glances are the thief that steals Radha's peacefulness. O Queen, whose bumblebee's sidelong glance bites the lotus of Krishna's eyes. O King, who made no reply to Radha's mysterious jokes. O Queen, the hairs of whose vine-like form stood erect with joy as you heard the Prince of Vraja's joking. O King, whose splendid transcendental virtues are an eternally growing mountain of rubies. O Queen, whose many transcendental virtues are desired by Parvati and all other beautiful girls. O King of Vrindavan, O Queen of Vrindavan, bowing down before you, with a choked voice, this foolish person appeals to you. Although I am not worthy to receive your mercy, please be merciful to me, for you are the crown jewels of all who are merciful. O King and Queen, worshipped by the masters of all the worlds, they who are very merciful are filled with kindness, even for the unworthy, and even for the offenders. Although I have not the dimmest shadow of pure devotion, which is the only way to attain you, still, because you are the masters of playful, transcendental pastimes, please be merciful to me. O my King and Queen, in this world, many powerful controllers and many playful persons are seen to be merciful to the impious and indifferent. Although I am the lowest and you are the highest, although I am a fool and you are the greatest philosophers, although I am wicked and you are the most saintly, and although I commit offenses when I think of you, still, O King and Queen, the shadow of whose holy names delivers one from a host of sins. Please be kind to this person who sometimes chants your holy names. The most unpardonable sin is made non-existent by a small particle of devotion to you. This makes me hopeful. For this reason, I now appeal to you. Although this living entity is a coward, intense pain has now made him bold. O King and Queen, again and again he appeals to you. Please be kind to him. Loudly crying and taking a straw between his teeth, the sinful soul begs, O King and Queen, please be kind. Calling out, alas, alas, this unfortunate person begs, please hear my appeal, O King and Queen, please hear my appeal. Filled with anguish, and again and again calling out, alas, alas, I beg, O oceans of mercy, please be kind to this unworthy person. placing his face in his hands, this person cries out in anguish, "O King and Queen, please, please, give a small drop of your mercy," crying, "I, who am a great fool, beg in a piteous voice, O merciful King and Queen, please splash me with your waves of mercy." To they whose hearts are filled with sweet, ecstatic devotion, you mercifully give sweet, pure love. O King and Queen, I wish only to serve you. I do not wish anything else. Please be kind to me. O King and Queen, who are kind to the shelterless, please be kind to this person and grant the direct service he begs. Folded palms placed on his head, this poor person begs, "May my desire now be fulfilled. When, coming through the forest, will your splendid fragrance overwhelm my nose with immeasurable happiness? When will the musical tinkling of your anklets, which shames the swan's warbling, delight my ears? When, seeing in Vrindavan forest your footprints bearing a chariot wheel and other auspicious signs, will this person become mad with joy? O King and Queen, whose lotus feet are the worshipable ultimate limit of all beauty, will you place these unprecedented joyful festivals before my eyes? O Lords, the sight of whose lotus feet I have for a long time yearned to see, will this person be able to directly see you in this birth? O splendid King and Queen, when will I see you enjoying amorous pastimes nearby in the groves and caves of Vrindavan forest? O King and Queen, who, out of fear of your superiors, rarely see each other, when will I delight you with the nectar of each other's letters? And the story goes on. And he concludes, "What am I? I am a sinful man. How can I make such requests? But who will not become maddened by your transcendental sweetness? O King and Queen, by the same mercy that allows this unworthy person to reside in Vrindavan, please fulfill his desires. O King and Queen, who dance in Vrindavan forest, may the desires of a person who repeatedly recites this Karapanya Panjika become fulfilled." One of the greatest devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And actually, he's expressing his heart, the mood of the devotee in separation and hankering so much to no longer be separated from Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna. Hankering, and dissatisfied with being in this material world, and surrounded by so many material things. Of course, he's living in the forest of Vrindavan, so it's also different, but the basic idea is he is expressing a very, very intense mood of very deep separation from Radha and Krishna and appealing to them from the heart, from the very depths of his heart. Please be merciful. Allow me to come close to you. Allow me to approach you and give me the shelter of your lotus feet and give me that mercy of accepting me. This is our position, actually. Meaning, we are in the perfect position for feeling separation, in that we are extremely separated from Krishna. We went a long way away. We came all the way to Manasa. That's a long way from Goloka Vrindavan and the forests of Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna having their pastimes. So, Rupa Goswami is there in the forest of Vrindavan and he's feeling so much separation. But he's right there in Vrindavan. Radha and Krishna are right there. Here we are in Manasa. Oh, we're very separated. But there's a problem. That's a problem. And we're so separate from Krishna. Long way away. But there's another problem, more serious problem, is that we are not aware of that very much. Oh, a little bit. But, mainly people are thinking, then here I am in Lens, and I have my house, and my motor car, and my family, and my friends, and my job, or my business, and I'm all right. I have my TV. I can watch the bold and the beautiful bring lines to my heart's whatever, content or something. And I can do so many things. So, you don't need to worry about Krishna, being separated from Krishna. But actually, this is a great tragedy. This is a great disaster. We became separated from Krishna. We lost the association of Radha and Krishna. And we got the association of so many ordinary people. Just not very exciting at all. And we got lost in the forest, not the forest of Vrindavan, but the forest of this material world. So we are very separated from Krishna. And Srimati Radharani, Srila Prabhupada says, about chanting Hare Krishna and Hare. Hare is Radharani. Just like you say. The vocative, when we call out Krishna, it becomes Krishna. And Radha becomes Radhe. Lalita, you call out, becomes Lalite. So, Radharani, Hara. She's known as Hara. In the vocative, when you're calling out to her, it becomes Hare. Yes. Srimati Radharani and Krishna, when we're chanting, Srila Prabhupada said, we should call out just like a child, calling out for the mother. Children are better off, in a sense. As soon as the mother turns her back or goes into another room, a small child may start howling. Why? Because the child feels the separation, feels the insecurity, the lack of shelter, and so cries out for the mother. But as we get older, then we think, oh, I have so many shelters. Srishinadai Gora Hare Ki. I have so many shelters. My family and friends, and so on and so forth. They're all shelters. So therefore, we don't feel like the little child who calls out unpretentiously, just in simple sincerity, calling out, oh, mother, please come. So the child is feeling the reality, actually. that we are separated from the real shelter. But the child thinks that the mother can give the shelter. And this is unfortunately another part of the illusion. But we as adults, we're not crying out, our mother goes next door. We're not crying out. Because we are getting some sense of shelter and protection, safety, from various other things. Even just from ourselves, we think we can look after ourselves. But really the child is experiencing the reality more. That, oh, suddenly I'm on my own. Oh, what a disaster. So crying out. So, as we become devotees more and more, we will realize, again we will, at least in this sense, become like children again, a little bit. Again, we'll realize more and more progressively how family, friends, bank balance, motor car, secure job, big lime house, and all these things. As we gradually progress in devotional service, we will realize more and more that these are not the shelters I thought they were. I am in a dangerous position. Oh, I need some shelter beyond these things. Gradually this realization will come as we develop, as our minds and our eyes become purified. And we can see through the false, veneer of material life. That veneer, that little coating, it's only that thin, which makes it look like it's all right and that it can help us. But as we develop a little bit that transcendental vision, then we will become able to see through that. And then we'll realize, just like the child, and even more than the child, that we have to cry out. And that's what Rupa Goswami is doing. He's on that level. He's on the topmost platform on that level of appreciating that there is nothing of any value other than Krishna, and nothing can help me other than Radha and Krishna. No one can help me, so I have to get their mercy at any cost. I have to get their mercy. So completely without pretension, just like the child will walk here in the middle of the temple room and start screaming. No pretensions that all these people are here, they may think this, that I'm strange. Can you imagine one of us walking in and starting screaming? Help, Mama. And we'd all think, oh, strange. But the child, no pretensions. Just come in here and start screaming. Anything could be happening. Doesn't matter. He or she needs that shelter. So Rupa Goswami, same mood, more so even, without any pretension, simply begging and crying. Prabhupada, one time, he said, Krishna consciousness means we will teach you how to cry. This is Krishna consciousness. In a sense, ultimately, we will teach you how to cry. Not crocodile tears or acting in that sense, but we will teach you how to actually cry for Krishna. That is based on transcendental realization. It is not based just on a mundane sentiment. Sometimes we see that some people, they have some attachment to Krishna, but they also have big attachment to material world. I remember one time in England, we were visiting one family, And we'd never met them before. We just met them on the street that day doing book distribution. They invited us to stay at their home, so we went. They had a deity of Ladu Gopal. They called him Bal Mukunda. One of these regular little brass Ladu Gopals. Nice little deity. So we had arati that night for Bal Mukunda. And there were a few of us after Sayadaw Prabhu was there, actually. This was in Birmingham or Coventry, somewhere there in the middle of England. And the kirtan was building up. We were offering the arati. It was going very nicely. Suddenly, the old Mataji, Granny, she burst into the middle of the kirtan, right, in amongst us men, and hurled herself on the ground in front of Bal Mukunda, crying and just wildly performing. It was something extraordinary. And Bal Mukunda, he was up on like a sort of mantelpiece, like maybe this level or a little higher. And she was lying on the ground. She started kind of crawling up and sliding down, and crawling up and sliding down, crying for Bal Mukunda. Then the kirtan finished, and we sort of, maybe we had a class or something, we just carried on. And the children of the house, they started playing around. They were little children. Then they started playing with Bal Mukunda. Suddenly, Bal Mukunda was flying across the room and bouncing off the walls and off the floor. Poor little Bal Mukunda. And Granny just came walking through life. Life was going on. It's nothing unusual. So, we, even though we were very neophyte devotees, we were horrified. They could do this with a deity. And then she just walked right through the middle. Bal Mukunda almost hit her on the head. There was no problem. So this is called, sort of sahajya, actually, sentiment. That, oh, I love Krishna. But when it comes down to it, he can bounce off the walls and the floor, but it's not really a problem to me. Yeah. So it's not a sentiment. We want to teach. Prabhupada came to teach us how to cry for Krishna. But that crying is not just a sentiment. It's based on the real realization. After all, this word, realization means it becomes real. If you realize, it becomes realized. It actually becomes real. Yes, this is very important. So, this real feeling to cry out for the mercy of Radharani and the mercy of Krishna, who are the only ones who can help us, lost in this bottomless ocean of material existence. This ability or capacity to, in a real unpretentious way, cry out to Radharani and Krishna for mercy, for shelter. This can only be there if we have become advanced in realizing our fallen position. And we can only realize our fallen position if we realize that this world is fallen. Yes. If you think that this world is okay, Lanesha, fantastic. 3-story house, TV in every room, Mercedes-Benz or 3. It's okay. I have my deals arranged and this and that. So if the material world looks like this to you, then you will not realize that you are fallen. You cannot realize you are fallen. It's by definition impossible. Therefore you cannot realize that you need help. Therefore you cannot call out at all for help. No, you can't. at best in a complacent way, you may say Hare Krishna or something, which is better than nothing, and give a donation and, you know, think you've done your pious duty, which is better than nothing, a lot better than nothing. But in terms of advancing in Krishna consciousness, in terms of what Krishna wants for us, in terms of what Radha and Krishna are hoping for us, why Krishna came 5,000 years ago, what he actually wanted to give us, well, you know, it's only the first little step on a quite a long path. So one can only cry for Krishna if one realizes that one has something to cry about. Yeah. Otherwise, if one is doing fine and one has got one's bank statement to protect one, then one can hide behind one's Mercedes and, you know, in some secret room on the top floor of your house. Then who are you going to cry? You won't feel like crying. Yeah. So, this is the reality of Krishna consciousness, actually. That you can only cry out for Krishna if you realize that your position is bad. And you can only realize that your position is bad if you can see how this world is bad, and how you're caught in this world, and how that is bad. And you can only see that if you know that I'm a spirit soul. I'm not this body. I'm an eternal spirit soul. And I'm not part of this world. That's the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita. So all these things, they all tie together. And what is the end result? That you learn how to cry. Just as Srila Rupa Goswami is crying and crying and calling out, alas, alas, oh King and Queen of Vrindavan, please be merciful to me, please be kind, and give me that service, which is the only thing which is worth having, to be able to serve you. Yes. This is very nice. This is a little meditation we can try to cultivate overnight and tomorrow. How's that? And then by the time we get to this point tomorrow night, or RT or whatever our program will be tomorrow, then, oh, you'll be in a different state of mind. And then you'll really be able to appreciate these things, or more, you'll be able to appreciate them more. And the whole experience will be much richer, and much deeper. And actually you'll get some transcendental experience which will sort of open your eyes, open your mind, and open your heart a little bit further to Radha, Srimati Radharani, and Krishna. Hare Krishna. Ah, oh, you know one thing you should do? Ah, you should do this. You know what you do for someone on their birthday, right? What do you do? What do you think of it? But you buy them a present, then. And if they're worth it, you buy them a present. So why don't you buy a present for Radha? How's that? At least it's one way you can express something. Yeah, make a little sacrifice. Buy a present for the deities. Because Lord Chaitanya, he is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahe Anya. Nahe means not, and Anya means other. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he is none other than Radha and Krishna. So we can do our little service, make our little offering to Radharani by making some offering to Lord Chaitanya tomorrow. Is that okay? So why don't you try and do that? Try and get a little present. You can ask the pujaris, what do the deities need? And then it's a personal offering. You're actually giving something to God, to the Radha and Krishna, because they're there. They're not just statues. No, they're there in person. So you can directly give them and write a card, and we'll read your card to them, and then we'll forget what you have to say. Actually, no. This is a mess. If we do it like this, then Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani. Then, if you do it like this, then these holy days, appearance days, and in the case of the great acharyas, the disappearance days, they will become the mothers of our devotional spirit. What does the mother do? The mother nourishes, feeds, protects, and does everything so the child can grow and become strong. So it's all very important. Okay. Any comments or questions? So let us make a prayer within our minds, within our hearts, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. Make a little prayer to Radha and Krishna. Please help me. First of all, help me to understand I need help. That's a good start. Help me to understand I need help. And then when you realize that, then you can get a lot of help. Okay, so let us try tomorrow to observe the occasion very nicely. Try, during the day, try to do something like good service, very nice service, to as an expression, really make some effort. Something. This is another prayer here. This is from one very great prayer called Vilap Kusumanjali. A handful of flowers in the form of a lament by Raghunath Das Goswami. He says, "Oh, restless-eyed girl, your lake, that's radical, is the eternal home of you and your beloved. My residence is there. There I stay. O beautiful lake, my queen eternally enjoys amorous pastimes with her beloved on your shore. If you are most dear to them, then please mercifully show me now the girl who is my life and soul. My queen will not leave your company for even a moment. Because you are both the same age, you are the realm of her playful joking pastimes. O girl with the beautiful face, O Vishakha, please show me my queen and save the life of me on the verge of death because I am separated from her." Then he prays, "I'm yours. I'm yours. I cannot live without you. O Queen, please understand this and bring me to your feet." So a little something you can read. Jai Shri Radhastami Mahotsava Ki, Srimati Radharani Ki, Sri Sri Nitai Gaurahari Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki.